The leader of the SDLP, Colm Eastwood, seems to be taking speechwriting tips from the president of the European Council, Donald Tusk. He used his historic address to the Fianna Fáil Ard Fheis last weekend to say there was a special place reserved in hell for those calling for a border poll with no plan as to how United Ireland might work. He also called out Sinn Féin, telling them to do their duty and restore power sharing. The SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood, is with me now. Good morning.
Morning, Stephen.
A special place in hell for who?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that I was referring to the using the Donald Tusk remark, because what he talked about was when it came to people looking to leave the European Union without a plan. Well, it wasn't a very good idea, as we found out. So what I'm saying very clearly, and I've been saying now for a number of years, is if we're serious about United Ireland, and I am, if we want to win the border poll at some stage in the future, and I really, really do, then we have to begin planning for it. And we can't just keep calling for one without any notion of how we're going to win it. And, you know, I remember very clearly on the night, and the early morning after the referendum result, the Brexit referendum result, in the middle of the night, Sinn Féin put out a press release saying that they want the border poll now. So that's not a very sensible strategy in my view. So if people are serious about actually delivering upon a United Ireland, then we have to get serious about planning for one and convincing people that it's a good idea.
So we'll deal with that in just a second, but the special place in hell is for Brexiteers, is it?
No, the remark was obviously a take on what Donald Tusk
sure.
said.
But who's the special place in hell for, Colm?
It's for people who think that it's a good idea to have a border poll when we can't win it. It's for people who want to have a border poll without actually working on delivering it and working on convincing people and understanding. And if you read the speech was really about building for that change, building a broad coalition for change across the island, and understanding that if we can't bring unionism with us, then we have made a huge mistake, that we have to build a reconciled country, that we have to work on reconciliation, that our job is to do that. And yes, absolutely, we are now in a new place, and I've been saying for some time that the constitutional question is on the agenda in a way that it hasn't been for many, many years.
Why do you say that?
Because I think Brexit has changed everything. I mean, people are now talking about constitutional change who never talked about it, who were quite comfortable in the position that they were in. But now people see the opportunity and see all of that change that's going on constitutionally around these islands and see the opportunity for change. But what I am saying is those of us in a position of leadership have a very key responsibility now to bring people with us, to build that coalition for change, but also to ensure that we build the reconciled Ireland that we want to see, because that's the most important. That's uniting the people of this country. That's the most important thing. And that, I think, will lead to the unification of the country. So that's a big piece of work. I mean, I said it must be over a year ago now that we should reconvene the New Ireland Forum, that the Irish government should do that, to begin that work. I now see that Sinn Féin have called for a forum as well. I think that's good. It's better than just calling for a border poll without any idea of how to win it. But I think we need to stop using slogans and trying to drum up the base or whatever. This is much more serious than that now. I mean, it was okay to do that when there was really no prospect of this being successful. Now it is absolutely clear, and you know, anybody will tell you that things have changed and there is a prospect now of change. That means we have a responsibility to get it right and to do it properly. And I think it's important that we're mature about all of that.
Just some news coming into us this morning. We understand that the brother of Gerry Adams, Liam Adams, has died, and we will have more on that during the programme today. Let's come back to Colm Eastwood, leader of the SDLP. So how much is in your mind, Colm, to reach out to unionists in this United Ireland that you say is now on the cards? How would you sell it to them that they will be safe and their heritage will be safe?
Yeah. Well, if you read my speech and if you read what I said at the Civic Nationalist conference in the waterfront, and what I've said in every time I've addressed this topic is that we have to reach out to unionism. We have to begin that work. Some of us are already having, you know, those quiet conversations, but we have a massive, massive job of work to do. Excuse me, to unite the people of this country. And that has to be our top priority, and that's what I said on Saturday. That is the job of those of us who want to persuade for change. I mean, the Good Friday Agreement allowed us a democratic route to change. You know, the principle of consent means that we have to convince people. And that's a hard job. That's a big, big job, particularly in a place like the north of Ireland. But we have to begin that work now. And my view is we can't do that without an assembly. We can't do that by continually shouting slogans at each other over walls. We have to begin to understand that, as difficult as it all is, we have to work together to unite this community and ultimately to unite the country. That's how it gets done. There is no other way of doing it. You can't protest your way into it. We can't complain our way into it. We can't keep rehearsing all the old arguments and all the old difficulties and that we've had over the years. We have to begin to create an idea that's attractive to people from whatever background they come. And I think that can be done, but we have to start the work. I mean, it's many years ago now that we said that the Good Friday Agreement has to endure in a future United Ireland. The institutions of the Good Friday Agreement have to endure in a future United Ireland. That the protections for minorities have to endure in a future new Ireland. And that has to be what we're about. And so all of that work needs done. I mean, it's part of what we're doing with Fianna Fáil, is that we're beginning to do that policy work to reach out across the divide to show that we can build an all-Ireland economy, an all-Ireland health service, an all-Ireland education system, all of those things, but also that we have an Ireland that people feel comfortable in, and that all of the rich traditions of this island are equally cherished, and that is a big piece of work, and we have to begin it, but we haven't done it yet.
And you're saying that people need to think this through, so let's see if you've thought it through, because what you're wanting to do is dismantle the union. So let's look at some things that you would need to consider. Would Stormont exist in its current form?
Yes, I believe the Stormont should exist. It may need changed, but I do believe...
Changed hard.
We need to talk about that, but I do believe that the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement need to endure. Now, there may be some policy differences around some of the things that you would devolve, because we've been in a very different situation. But we've been saying this now for maybe 12 years, that the Good Friday Agreement and all of the institutions of it, the idea that we're just going to have some kind of unitary state without recognising the differences that there are in the North, I don't think it's sensible and realistic anymore. So we have to look at how we protect how we ensure that unionism is protected within all of that.
And would unionists permanently be entitled to UK citizenship?
Oh, absolutely. I would support that fully. Just like I am entitled and argued to be entitled to Irish citizenship and European citizenship, even though that's pretty much under threat now by some of the people who want to drag us out of Europe. But I would equally argue that people should be entitled to UK citizenship.
Would the PSNI continue to exist?
I think that's a conversation that needs to happen.
But you're saying people need to thought this through, so presumably you've thought it through.
What I'm saying is, Stephen, is that we need to begin the work of planning for it. The point that
you've
I'm making is
there's
that
a special place in hell, Colin, for people who aren't planning for this.
Yes,
so
yes.
Have you planned for it? Like the police are a major institution in this country. Is there a special place in hell for you?
Let's just think about this, Stephen. What I have said is that we need to begin to plan towards Irish unity.
So have you begun the plan?
Yes, of course we've begun the
plan. Would the PSNI continue to exist? You're the leader of a major political party.
Do you see the
police continuing to exist?
Let me just stop you.
PSNI.
I'm not going to sit here and, after telling you that we need to begin to plan for Irish unity, that we need to sit down together across all of the parties across this island and begin to do that work, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I have cooked it all up in my head. What I'm telling you is those people who are pretending that we should have a border poll without doing the work are wrong. That's why I want to do the work. I'm not coming at this with preconceived notions. Yes, of course, I believe that the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement should exist. Yes, of course, I believe a number of other things. But I'm not going to come at this with preconceived notions about how we do it. That would go against everything that I've just told you. So
you don't know if the PSNI would continue to exist in a United Ireland. You've never thought about that.
Of course I have thought about it.
And what's your view?
Well, I'm open to discussing it. Let's be serious. It was the SDLP who spent many, many years and lots of effort trying to make sure that the PSNA would be a force, a police service that people could identify with and that people could feel comfortable with, and that could be properly held to account by democratic institutions. So we put an awful lot of work into that. So, but Stephen, if you're going to sit and list down a load of issues that I have told you that the people we haven't worked out yet, and try to, you know, pretend that I somehow don't have a plan. Well, I don't have a plan. What I want to do is,
but you've got an opinion, but you won't tell us what it is.
I'm telling you that we want to build a plan, that we have to sit down together. That's why
I'm trying to imagine your vision for a united Ireland. Okay.
You're trying to pretend that I have a pre-cooked plan, which I don't. And I'm very clear about that. I'm telling you that we need to develop the plan. That's why I have said that those people who want to hold the border poll without developing the plan first, you know, it makes no strategic sense. So let's not do this, Stephen, where you're going to list a whole lot of policy areas where we haven't fully developed the plan. What I'm telling you, and I'm admitting up front, that nationalism is not ready for a border poll. That's the point.
Well, you said in 2017.
It goes to the very part of my argument.
You said in 2017 that there should be a border poll after Brexit.
No, I didn't. No, and this has been misquoted 100 times now. What I said is there shouldn't be a border poll until after Brexit is resolved. I didn't say there should be a border poll after Brexit. I said there shouldn't be a border poll until after Brexit is resolved.
Well, it's the same thing.
A headline in a paper in Northern Ireland that was wrong, and it became a big story, but it wasn't what I said.
Well, let's hear what you said, to be fair to you.
Well, I want a border poll that we can win. You know, I'm not out with banners calling for one. We've worked very hard to make sure that any future border poll will actually be a border poll about re-entering the European Union. That will, I think, be very significant in the future. But any border poll should happen after Brexit is settled and we can have a proper, positive discussion about our constitutional future.
So you're wrong. You didn't say there shouldn't be. We've just heard you.
You
corrected me and you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
You did not say what you suggested. You just said there shouldn't be a border poll. You said there should be a border poll after Brexit is settled. That's what you just said.
Is Brexit settled, Stephen? Is Brexit likely to be settled anytime soon? I said we have to build towards.
You misquoted yourself, Colm.
No, I didn't, Stephen, and you know what that means. If you listen back to what that said, again, if you want, and I'm sure you might want to play it again, it said we're not out calling for a border poll. We want a border poll that we can win.
When do you think there should be a border poll?
When? That day,
how soon?
I think we should begin planning for one. I think after Brexit has settled down, we should convene the New Ireland Forum. We should all begin to work on that. Some people are already working on it. We're beginning to work on it alongside.
Within the next year?
We're beginning those conversations. I think that would be too early. I don't think we're ready. I mean, I don't. From a purely selfish, nationalist, strategic point of view, we shouldn't want a border poll now. If I was a unionist, I'd want one now because I don't think we can win it now. That's me being honest about things. I want a border poll that we can win, as I said in 2017.
Why do you not think you can win it now?
Because the numbers aren't there and we haven't done the work to persuade enough people that it's a good idea. And that's our job. That's our duty. We have to begin that work.
All right.
We have to begin that conversation.
Okay. And what I'm trying to do today, because I'm trying to make this conversation between you and I meaningful. In order, you say you don't have the numbers.
But you're trying to pretend that I have a cooked up plan.
No, I'm not.
Telling you. I'm the one saying that there is no plan.
Okay. Yeah. You want the United Ireland. You're a political leader. There is no plan. Some people might think,
We need to begin to flesh out the plan work.
Now, hold on. All I'm trying to do today is get a sense of some of your instincts, okay?
Vision.
Can
I tell you what you're trying to do?
Yeah.
I've come on your program. I said at the weekend that nationalism is not ready, that nationalism needs to get together, that nationalism needs to get the plan. And needs to begin a conversation.
But some of that plan,
Now you're trying to get me to answer questions about a plan that isn't ready yet. And you're just reinforcing the argument that I'm making that it means that we need to get together. We need to begin the conversation. Sure. We shouldn't just put out press statements about border polls without doing the work.
Sure, so and it's fair enough. And it's fair enough. It is fair enough of me to try to ascertain from a political leader, when you're in that conversation, what part of your instincts would be? For example, healthcare is often talked about. Do you think healthcare in Northern Ireland, if there were to be a united Ireland, would still be free at the point of delivery?
It absolutely has to be because first of all, it always should be, and it should be in the south as well. And there are plans with Sláintecare To try to bring that about in the South. But that's a major challenge, and that's one of the areas that we need to do major work on. And by the way,
that's a radical change in healthcare in the South of Ireland. Could that be afforded?
Yes, it is, and it should happen.
Could it be afforded?
Well, that's the conversation that needs to happen. There already is a proposal around a thing called Sláinte Care in the South that is beginning to move towards that position. And I don't think we would win a border poll unless that question was answered. I mean, I don't think anybody in the North wants to pay to go and see their GP, and neither should they. So that's part of the big question that we have to answer.
And have you any idea how much that would cost?
Off the top of my head, sitting here in an interview now, no, I don't, but that work needs to be done. You're again trying to do this, Stephen. I'm the one saying that nationalism needs to do this work, and you're trying to make easy headlines by saying that I don't have all the answers. I'm telling you up front, I don't have all the answers.
I'm not trying to make headlines, Colm. It's fair enough if you're a political leader and your vision is for United Ireland, for me to find out how much you've thought about some of the big pillars of United Ireland. For example, would Northern Ireland stay in the Commonwealth?
Well, I'm sure people would want that to happen.
But would you?
No, I personally wouldn't, but I'd be up for that conversation. I mean, I think that nationalism would have a lot of work to do to convince unionism. And if there are things like the Commonwealth on the table, then I think we need to be prepared to discuss it and think about it. I personally wouldn't want to, but I think other people would. And if it meant that we could convince people, then that would be something that we should think about. But I know what you're trying to do, Stephen, and I just want you to listen to what I'm saying very carefully. I'm the one out saying that we're not ready. So, you know, you're just going to prove my case.
It's not about we.
Nationalism isn't ready. Nationalism isn't ready.
Yeah, but Colm, how much have you thought about this? Well, would the BBC continue?
I'm sure the BBC would continue.
Would the BBC continue to broadcast, to be the broadcaster in Northern Ireland? Would BBC Northern Ireland continue, or would you want that dismantled and replaced with RTE and an All-Ireland basis?
I don't see why it couldn't. But, Stephen, you're going to keep doing this, and I'm going to keep telling you we have an awful lot of work to do. We need to begin that work, begin that conversation, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend I have all the answers.
Well, let me put it a different way.
That goes against everything I've just told you.
Well, let me put it a different way. Have you any red lines? Any vision whatsoever as the leader of the SDLP as to what a United Ireland would represent?
Stephen, this is how you do things. You say, would you have any vision whatsoever? Of course I have a vision for United Ireland.
Well, tell us.
Of course
what it
I have
is.
A view of what it should be. What I'm telling you is it should be an island, an Ireland that encompasses all of the traditions that we have, that makes unionism feel comfortable, where British people can feel part of it. We have an all-Ireland economy. You know, remember this, the economy in the South is growing four times faster than the economy in the North. The infrastructural development in the North is pitiful compared to that in the South. They have a higher education system that is flying. They have companies from all over the world headquartered in Dublin, Cork, Limerick and Galway. We have none of that. We have an economy that is really collapsing. Outside of Belfast, people are emigrating in massive numbers. We haven't stood on our own two feet economically for a long, long time. We have a public sector that is huge and a private sector that is very, very small. That is the big challenge going forward. That they are the issues that need to be resolved. They are the issues that I believe would be far better able to solve if we're part of a United Ireland. I think it makes far more sense to have us as part of one unit than two. It hasn't worked. I mean, people say there's a huge subvention from London. That proves the case to me that the economic output of the North isn't working. We need that subvention from London in order to survive. What we want to do is build an all-Ireland economy that can actually work. By the way, I believe we can do this and begin that work before we even have a border poll. We should have been doing that for the 10 years we had unbroken government in the North. We should have been doing much more North-South connection in terms of the economy, in terms of the health service, in terms of the education system, particularly in terms of attracting foreign direct investment, corporation tax. All of those things could have been done and should have been done.
And you would slice corporation tax here, would you?
Yes, I would make Northern Ireland a tax haven. I wouldn't make it a tax haven, no. I would make it 12.5% to harmonise with the South. And by the way, that's the policy now of every major political party in Northern Ireland. So Yes, of course I would. If I was in America, I don't think we would need this last corporation tax. It would go against most of the things I would believe in a big, major economy that could stand on its own 2 feet. But we aren't that. You know, this place has got, 1.8 million people. We can't survive if we we can't attract the inward investment if our if the 26 counties is able to have 12.5% corporation tax.
That doesn't go against your social democratic roots.
No, because what I want is people to be in work. I want jobs. I can tell you, I'm from a city that has the highest levels of economic inactivity, the highest levels of unemployment of any place on these islands. So the economic strategy that we've had to date doesn't work. But we also have to invest in universities and higher education. We're sending far too many of our people away. And what they did in the South, actually, was they invested in universities before they dropped corporation tax so that they were able to have the talent pool there that was available when the companies came. So we haven't done any of that. That work needs to be done. I think it needs to be done regardless of whether there's a United Ireland or not. But I just think it makes much more sense to have one economic policy for the whole island, and particularly one inward investment policy for the whole island. And I think that's what we should be doing. See, so all those things need done. But it isn't necessarily a prerequisite to United Ireland, but it makes much more sense.
So you want to make big tax cuts in Northern Ireland, for example, corporation tax, but you want to
spend
more in the South, for example, on health. You want to radically overhaul the whole health service and make it free at the point of entry in the South.
Stephen, sorry, that's already happened. Sansa Care is already a proposal that's beginning to work its way through the political system in the South. They already have a vision for that, and they want to deliver it. Now, let's see how that goes. And that's that harmonising two health systems that have grown up radically differently and have different results as well. Nobody's pretending that it wouldn't.
You've said that a border poll should not happen within the next year. That would be too soon. Have you got any notion in your head as to a target, a time frame? Because if there's no target, then something might never happen. So what do you think would be a reasonable period of time for people to prepare for a border poll?
Well, Stephen, we've just come through. Well, we haven't even come through it yet. Brexit, we watched what happened with that referendum, where people called the referendum with no idea of how to win it. I mean, I think that is now, well known as a pretty bad thing to do, not a very clever thing to do. So what I'm saying is that we should convene the New Ireland Forum, reconvene it, the forum that was convened before, to bring all of the strands of opinion together to work out how we actually deliver it. And this is a pretty big thing to do, as you're clearly pointing out. Then we should work on that, and when that work's concluded, there should be a border poll, but not before it.
Within the next 5 years.
Well, I have no preconceived notions about how long that work will take. And I think what it would be silly to do that. It would be silly to say, here's the date for the referendum, now let's start the work. What I'm saying is, let's start the work and then work out the date for the referendum.
If a border poll was...
Is that not a sensible thing to
do? If a border poll was called, would you work with Sinn Féin to try to achieve a United Ireland?
I work with everybody who wants to achieve United Ireland. But most importantly, I want to talk to people who don't agree with me. I mean, I think the most important thing we have to do is to show people, particularly from a traditionally unionist background, that we're not out to kind of do them down, that we don't want to. This isn't about kind of old arguments. This is about creating a new nation that everybody can feel comfortable in. And that will have hard conversations for all of us, particularly about the issues around identity and culture. But I want to make sure that people can feel comfortable in that future. The first thing we do is we don't shout at them, is that we have a quiet conversation with them where they can feel comfortable. Because if the conversation and where we're trying to convince them isn't held properly and isn't done in a respectful way, how can we give them any confidence that a new Ireland will be respectful of who they are? So, and how can we do it when there's no assembly? I mean, that is just, it just doesn't work in my view. We can't convince people of United Ireland when we can't share power with them. So that nut needs cracked first. We need to begin to get round the table and solve that problem. And I mean, like, I was in the meeting last Friday where people now have preconditions for even being in talks. I mean, that stuff's crazy. I mean, if we haven't learned anything...
What preconditions? Who?
Well, it seems to me from the conversations that were had... by the way, it seems both Sinn Féin and the DUP at different points in this process have behaved badly and have have stopped there being progress. But it seems to me Sinn Féin's position now is that unless the DUP totally changes their position and on all of their red lines, and they won't even enter a conversation. Now, that's no way to do a negotiation, in my view. I think we all need around the table, need to find solutions to those problems. And I don't think it's that hard to do. But if we just keep shouting red lines at people, then we're not going to get anywhere.
Colm Eastwood, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.